I must admit that if you talked to me on Monday or Tuesday and asked me what the sermon was going to be about on the first Sunday of 2026, I would have told you something a little different than what evolved by Sunday. And partly because I'm a great believer in a piece that was assigned to John Wesley. Whether he actually said the words or not, it doesn't really matter because it's a really good story. That when you walk in to preach or when you live out your discipleship in the world, we're called to do that with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. If you take that to heart, then there were some events that happened in the last 48 hours that really should change what we talk about this morning. I don't know if anyone planned the invasion quite in light of the liturgical calendar or not, but yet, here it is. On a Sunday when we further reflect on what it means for Jesus to be Emmanuel, to be the embodiment of God with us, and we reflect on the Magi and what it means for wise ones to have an experience of Herod and then decide to take a different way home, because going back to talk to Herod is probably not a good idea. In the story where we're not told that they kneel before Herod, we are told that they kneel before, well, the toddler Jesus. After all, if you follow the scriptural tradition, by this point, Jesus is probably 2 or 3 years old, not quite the infant that Hollywood would have us believe. And the words of Reverend Dr. William J. Barber II kind of echo in my ears, a king is not a king unless we bow. Don't get me wrong, I believe the regime in Venezuela was horrible. No question. An election that was probably stolen, a global community that doesn't recognize its validity. But yet someone decided that in light of all the things going on in the world, it was their responsibility to take over a country, to depose its leader, and say they're going to stay in power until it can be handed back to the people. Of course, in the meantime, we were also told in an announcement from the White House that oil production was going to increase, effective immediately. Sounds an awful lot like colonialism to me. Sounds an awful lot like continuing to treat Latin America the same way we've always treated Latin America, or Africa for that matter, or the Caribbean for that matter, as places that need parental oversight. So like a child who's done something wrong, the parents step in and take some kind of corrective action until the child has demonstrated that they're mature enough to take back that responsibility. Colonialism writ large. Former moderator Richard Bott shared these words last week, and it goes like this. He says, "And once again, the powers and principalities have chosen destruction and death to feed their graft and greed. God, I pray that the wise ones of the world would see what has happened and with their gifts would challenge the Herods and their minions. And I pray that all of us would be this world wise ones today." The reading from John tells us that we have been entrusted with the gift of Christ's light in the world. One could argue that we've now moved from a period where we reflect on God with us as Emmanuel, to God through us with Epiphany. The Magi embodied that with their gifts. They show up, they find the Christ, they step out in faith, they follow this star, not knowing where it's going to go or how they're going to get there. And I'm sure they made wrong choices and wrong decisions, and they didn't have any GPS to help other than this star. And my hunch is that like a GPS, though, when they made mistakes, like we all make mistakes, especially as we begin something new, they didn't go, oh, wow, that was wrong. Rather, in their heads, they heard what now we hear from our speakers in our cars, recalculating. Recalculating. If you notice, your GPS never says, I've made a mistake. Kind of implies you've made one, but then it just recalculates. The Magi, as Huda mentioned, they made their direction to follow the star one way, but they recalculated how they were going to go back home because their experience of God with us in the person of Jesus fundamentally changed their understanding of who they were. And so they knelt, and they bowed, and they shared the best of themselves, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, the gifts that they had to offer for what Christ would do in the world. I think that's true for you and I. I think each of us has gifts that we've been entrusted with in the last few weeks while I've been trying to figure out names and match them to faces and roles in the congregation, and you've all been coming and saying, hi, my name is so-and-so. One of the things that has been logging in my brain is the stories you've shared. Who you've been with, who you know, who's been here before, what you do, what you have done, what you'd like to do again, your dreams and visions for this faith community and the role we have here in the neighborhood where we find ourselves planted. And one of the things I've come to realize is you all have gifts. You all have your own versions of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And the question for me as we start this new year is not what are we going to do with a blank slate, because I don't think a new year ever comes with a true blank slate. The reality of it is it comes with all the history that got us here. And it's not about ignoring that history, but it is about saying, what are we going to do now with that history? What excites us? What enlivens us? What makes us want to do something different? What of the same do we want to make sure we carry with us? You might not have gold or frankincense or myrrh, for that matter. But you do have time, and you do have talents and abilities and passion and resources. You do have two hands, two feet, and a voice. I think we often forget that piece when we talk about Christ in the world. We talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus, but we forget that there was a third very, very important component to Jesus' ministry. It wasn't just about hands that healed or feet that took him places or feet that he washed. It was also a voice. And in a world where the powers and principalities and their minions and their buddies who want to line their pockets seem to be sometimes the loudest and only voice, that's one of the greatest gifts that each of us has, to share our voice in the world. And so it's true. John described this moment where God is fully enfleshed in a world and becomes real for us in a different kind of way. And we receive grace on top of the grace already given to offer this gifts that have been trusted to us so that like the Magi, we might recalculate the kind of community that we want to build. One that's very different from the ones that the Herods of the world would like to see created and perpetuated. And so we take the first tentative steps into a new year, trusting that wherever it takes us, whatever challenges it brings our way, whatever moments of celebration we can engage in together, that the Holy One is fully present with us and through us. And sometimes, even in spite of us. May it be so. Amen.